Hello, if you're listening to us, you love movies, and we want to send you to your next movie.
We want you to suggest which movie we should feud next. That's it.
When we feud it, and trust us, we will feud it. We try to get to all our suggestions. The person who suggested it gets 2 free movie tickets on Book My Show.
Just message us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at Muncha Movies and let us know which movie you want us to feud.
It doesn't matter if you're listening in 2001 or 2021. Just reach out to us. And then have fun at the movies on us.
And now, on to the episode.
In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber, two guys fix it all with a battle about a movie. One film, two opinions, one coin. Two sides. They feud. You decide. It's time for Film Feud.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Film Feud, the podcast where we debate whether top-rated movies should be top-rated. I'm Vidur.
And I'm Vikram.
What's up, Vikram?
Not much, man. A little nervous. A little excited.
Oh, and why is that?
Because of the movie we're feuding.
Oh, that's right. Why don't you first tell the good folk, our listeners, what we're doing here?
Of course. So we take a movie from the IMDb Top 250, we toss a coin, heads argues for, and tails argues against.
And you are nervous because?
The movie we're feuding is...
Da, 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 da,
Star Wars,
da,
A New Hope.
Da, 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 da.
Ba, 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 ba.
So first things first, Vikram, why don't we share with our listeners... our fandom of Star Wars. I'll begin.
Okay.
I am a fan of Star Wars.
Same to same. Good to meet you, fan.
We know this about each other.
Very well, actually, yeah.
We've gone to many Star Wars movies together.
Many a movies,
over
yes.
The course of now, approximately 15 years.
Yep, yep. And we've also rewatched many Star Wars movies together as well.
We've shared Star Wars books together.
Yes.
Well, not together. We never read them together. We borrowed them from each other.
Yeah.
What else? We have Star Wars memorabilia.
Yes.
You, in particular, I happen to know, do a killer Grand Moff Tarkin impression.
Do I know?
Yeah, just why don't you just let the audience know?
I just found out.
Okay, yeah. No, I know this for a fact. Just belt it out.
I'm just trying to channel Grand Moff Tarkin. Shut up, Vader.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That worked?
That's pretty good, yeah.
Okay.
And what else? You've always told me that you wish Yoda was your father.
I did. Okay. I don't know where all of this is coming from now.
No, these are deep, heartfelt Star Wars secrets you've shared with me.
Right.
So you're a fan. My fandom, I don't think I need to prove it, but I did call my girlfriend Leia once.
Okay.
In a very... intimate circumstance.
Okay.
And then when she was not happy about that, I broke up with her.
Oh.
So, you know.
That's kind of a dick move, though.
Yeah. It's a very Han Solo thing to do.
Yeah, very Han Solo to do, yeah.
So the point is, enough making up shit.
Yeah.
We are real fans. And hence, this is a high-stakes feud.
Very high stakes.
This movie is on the IMDb Top 250, and it will be debated as such.
Yes, impartially.
Impartially. So why don't we get to this very high-stakes coin toss? I will be tossing the coin, and heads means I argue for Star Wars, and tails means I argue against Star Wars, A New Hope, 1977.
We know the drill. Can you toss the coin already?
Here we go. And it's tails.
Yes!
Now... one thing's very clear, Vikram.
Oh, you suddenly hate A New Hope, don't you?
No. I was keeping my cards close to my chest. I hadn't revealed my feelings. The coin knows where I'm at, as
usual. And everything you said preceding the coin toss was not applicable to
Vikram,
this movie.
We're fans of Star Wars, but are we fans of all Star Wars movies?
Well, not The Force Awakens, but yes, this movie for sure.
Not many other. Are you the fan of Episode 2? Are you a fan of Episode 5.5?
Yeah. What?
Whatever, like Rogue One and Solo count as.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of The Last Jedi?
Yes.
Are you a fan of the original, the shit original movie? The one we're about to see?
Yes.
Oh, suddenly you're a fan of the original movie.
Superhuman fan, yeah. Except for Episode 2 and The Force Awakens. I'm going to say it very plainly. Those
You love The Last Jedi?
I love The Last Jedi.
We're going to talk about this at some point.
Yeah, forced meditation, dude.
You love Phantom Menace?
I love Phantom Menace, yes. You don't?
You love A New Hope?
I love A New Hope.
A title they gave it after the fact.
I love it. I love it. But why don't you save it? Why don't you save it?
Well, okay, when was the last time you watched A New Hope? It's not a movie you go back to often. Come on.
I watch the original trilogy once every three years or so.
You haven't seen this movie in 3 years. That should tell you all you need to know.
No.
When was the last time we watched, say, Empire Strikes Back or like the throne room scene from Return of the Jedi?
I just said it. I watched the entire trilogy.
That's it?
Yeah.
What kind of fan are you? I watch like Return of the Jedi scenes all the time. I watch Empire Strikes Back's iconic I'm Your Father all the time. But nothing from this movie. But we'll talk about it. I haven't seen it in a while, is my point. I'm willing to give it an impartial view.
Yeah, we already know how impartial it's going to be. Why don't we just get to the feud? Let's go watch the movie and let's impartially feud this movie then.
Let's go watch the movie. You already know what I'm going to say, Vikram.
The opening scroll just got me, dude. I'm sorry, please. I cut you off.
Yeah, you did, because I was actually about to make a very cogent, just feud ending, one-stop summarizing point.
So, okay, shoot.
The Force Awakens did it better.
Jesus.
The Force Awakens did this exact movie better.
No, it did not.
No, it sucks that Force Awakens copied this movie, but it was a better version
of
this
movie. No, it wasn't.
Movie.
Every Star Wars fan is going to say it's universally hated, whereas this movie is universally loved.
I don't care who hates, who loves. We're here to argue based like first principles, okay?
Okay.
And I hate to say it, The Force Awakens sucks, and yet it did it better than Star Wars A New Hope.
That statement in itself doesn't work.
Listen, it had 40 years to do it. I'll grant you that.
And maybe, it still couldn't do it better.
Maybe this New Hope movie was okay for its time, okay?
This New Hope. The only thing Force Awakens did better was CGI. And that's only because technology was better.
I actually think CGI is comparable in both.
Ouch. Ouch.
No, listen,
to
like, this Star Wars, as it was originally released, we have to take into account the other movies, right? That's the whole point of like feuding Star Wars these days. You can't escape what has happened. Like, even if you said, oh, you don't want to take into account Force Awakens and the prequels, even the sequels like screwed with their own story, right? So you can't like feud Star Wars without talking 5 and 6.
Well, firstly, you can, but just because you want to and take that weak stance, I'll go with it. Let's do it.
Oh my God.
Let's
do something we have to do and then call it Wither's weak stance.
I will defend this movie taking into account all of the Star Wars movies.
Even though
we shouldn't be doing it. Just saying.
Okay. You know what? I'll concede to your pussyfooting about we shouldn't be doing it and then do
it. You can't concede to a point and call it pussyfooting. Just
pussyfooting.
Yeah. Just take one stance, man. All right, shoot.
Have you seen The Last Starfighter?
The Last Starfighter?
Yeah. It's like one of those other 70s, 80s movies. This kid, scrawny little kid. I mean, it's not scrawny, but like a loser, a wimp, let's
You've
say.
You've seen it.
Yeah, I read the novelization. and then he plays this video game and he becomes really good at it.
Okay.
And then it turns out like that video game, like an arcade game in the 80s, has been placed there as like a test run to pick out the person who's going to be the best starfighter ever in like this intergalactic war.
Oh, kind of like Ender's Game.
Like Ender's Game. Like a mix between Star Wars and Ender's Game. It came
and
out between
Tron,
the two.
For some reason.
And then he goes and like, the hero's journey and all that. So, the reason you haven't heard of The Last Starfighter is because it's an ordinary movie with an ordinary space fantasy sci-fi story and probably not the best special effects, right? This is that movie. Star Wars was just that random movie. It's just that George Lucas went crazy adding special effects. He created ILM, Industrial Light and Magic, to make these special effects.
Yep.
This is a special effects company making a movie. It's like, behind the scenes people, when they start doing forefront stuff, it never works. This is like Intel making a PC.
What? Wait. So many stupid points there that
you're Intel. Just keep making the chips. Just make special effects. Don't make the movie.
There's no keep making the chips because nothing existed before this. This movie created special effects at scale at what we see today, firstly.
This movie inspired special effects at scale.
No, this movie showed the world how it could be done. And to this day, ILM is used for all the special effects that we see.
Behind the scenes. This is like ILM directing a movie.
No, it's not.
It is.
It's George Lucas directing the movie.
George
and he
Lucas
also helmed ILM. Also, your stupid point about the last, what was it?
Starfighter.
When was that movie released?
I think it had a very 80s vibe, so I'm going to guess 80s.
Yeah, so if that movie came out like at least 5-6 years after this movie came out, then how can it even be comparable?
No, wait. So, I already granted the special effects. The story of this movie is like well regarded at the time as like a hodgepodge of other stories. It's the way Quentin Tarantino mimics movies. George Lucas was mimicking things like Flash Gordon and other space adventures. And like special effects, I mean, 2001, A Space Odyssey came out 10 years before this. And it was mind-blowing.
What were the special effects there?
No, they were grounded. What? What were the special effects
there? Yeah, it was just ships.
No,
compared to 100,000 things that were done in this movie. I knew you were going to bring up 2001, A Space Odyssey.
No, I didn't plan to bring it up. It just came up. You brought it up. Like,
I
have never
bring
done
it up.
I'm just saying, like, space was shown well. You know, some of the things this movie gets credit for is, like, the opening scene was the first time stars were shown, like, being panned, because otherwise you had to, like, stay fixed on them and stuff.
Right.
I grant you the special effects. We concede, we move on. It's a special effects company making a movie.
No, you're talking about the story. Let's get back to that.
Okay.
I think the story works really well. It's like a timeless story if you think about it.
It's that Joseph Campbell hero with 1,000 faces. You know that hero's journey? And then, like, he has the inciting incident. His uncle and aunt get skeletized, burnt, roasted.
And then what about the sci-fi elements? What about the Force, the dark side, the Jedi?
Can we just talk about the Force, man?
Yeah.
What is this multi-purpose Force BS that this movie started? It's still going on today. It's one of my problems with Star Wars, and rampant in this movie the most, because the lore obviously hadn't been built. This movie started it. What is this Force? It can do anything. It's worse than the magic in Harry Potter.
Wait, sorry. I just need a second. Are you saying the Force is BS? How are you a Star Wars fan if you think Force, the concept of the Force is BS?
I'm going to make a video of all the uses of the Force, right?
Right?
This movie starts off like, these are not the droids you're looking for. Then it becomes Force Ghost. Then, probably the worst use of Force I've ever seen in a Star Wars movie is that it manages to 90-degree bend the blast from an X-Wing into a very concentrated Death Star hole. Use the Force, Luke.
Yeah, yeah.
Worst use of the Force. But Leia Mary Poppin'ing herself into a ship, that's the worst use of the Force.
Wait. The Leia thing, even though this movie is not what we're talking about, but I still defend it because it's not the worst use of the Force. It's just shown cinematically really stupidly. That's why it looks like it's super stupid. But if you think about the concept of the Force within what Leia's trying to do there, it's kind of amazing, man. She's living and breathing in space. It's kind of cool. And we've read so many Star Wars novels. We've seen that happen in
novels
as well.
You're just looking at a superhero with dumb powers. You're like, oh, it's kind of amazing.
Look, how are you a Star Wars fan if you're saying all of this is dumb and bullshit?
Don't you dare question me being a Star Wars fan. The more you are a fan of something, the more you're allowed to question it and dissect it. I love Star Wars.
What do you love the most about Star Wars? Just the out there question.
The way the lightsabers like hit against each other, man, it's so cool and the different colored. And you know they can cut through anything. Mm-hmm. Dude, a lightsaber is made of light. It can cut through anything. These are the kind of conversations I had as a kid, you know? I am a Star Wars fan. That was the cool part about Star Wars. But when you revisit A New Hope, it turns out all that stuff wasn't in this movie. Lightsabers in this movie, especially the original release, are white glow sticks. And
yeah,
two very... One old man in a hood.
Yeah.
One respected, knighted old man.
Yep.
Is holding a white stick with a limp wrist and fighting with another old man who can barely breathe under the Darth Vader apparatus he's wearing, and it constricts his breathing to the point they had to replace his voice, and they're just like dancing. They're doing Dandia with their glow sticks.
Wait, okay. They didn't have to replace his voice. That was the original intention, firstly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was joking, to be clear. But he is dying.
It wasn't clear. Sorry. And the second thing about lights, obviously, it's 77. You know what the first...
They didn't have light on 77?
What?
What do you mean?
No, the light was animation. It was CG.
Oh, it was just a glow stick?
It wasn't a glow stick. It was actually, they tried this rotating motor with these pipes. And George Lucas didn't like how it came out. So he decided to add animation to it, which is great call, firstly.
Have you seen those ridiculously expensive lightsabers that are for sale now? You know, they're just like giant glass sticks and they just light up with the room sound.
Yeah.
They couldn't have made that in 77.
Clearly not, if they're being sold right now. I mean, technology, man. And
they couldn't have made a glow stick. That
and also the way the duel is between Darth Vader and Obi-Wan, the way they're barely touching their lightsabers is because the models of the lightsaber they were holding were so fragile that if they would bang them hard against each other, they just break. That's why they're like touching.
Oh, it shows, brother.
Yeah, it does.
It shows that they would break.
I agree with that part. It kind of shows that duel.
Well, we've jumped to the Obi-Wan Vader fight. We can. We don't need to go in order. It's Star Wars.
Everyone knows Star Wars.
There are so many things that I noticed in this movie while watching it this time, because I was paying close attention, that actually made the whole experience worth it. Right? Like the Obi-Wan Vader fight, I've seen this before. But have you noticed Alec Guinness, you know, he made 2% of this movie.
Yeah.
Like, he had no money, but, like, his financial upside was 2%.
Yeah.
So, he made a ridiculous amount. Good for him. But, my God, was he just, like, hamming his way through this and just, like, phoning it in. At one point in the fight, he does a 360 turn for no reason against Vader.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God.
That's also probably, like, the fight coordinators or choreographers just telling him, like, do that now.
Be honest. You look at that fight, you think they had a fight coordinator?
I think they did. Alec Guinness and whoever the actor
David
was,
Prowse.
David Prowse were not doing that on their own. Just be like, hey, Alec, why don't you just take a spinny winny right there?
I think it came from him. I think he was in the zone. He was improvising.
Improving a fight scene. Yeah, but apart from that, the entire movie, I loved Alec Guinness.
Why does Obi-Wan kill himself? I'm not done with that fight yet.
He didn't kill himself, firstly.
He does suicide by lightsaber.
No, he force ghosted himself.
That's the same thing as doing suicide.
Sure, in a force, yeah, if you're a Jedi.
Yeah.
But then you're technically not dead. With a suicide, you're dead. Force ghost, you come back. That was his original intention.
No, you're not, Vikram. All you need is a little faith.
Oh, God. Okay. Why did he... force ghost himself.
Suicide.
He did not kill himself. He's not dead.
He took his lightsaber and held it up and started praying like Yoshimitsu from Tekken.
Yeah.
Knowing that Darth Vader is going to strike him down and then he's going to become more powerful than ever.
Yeah.
Which apparently means a voice that whispers things into Luke's ear sometime. Yeah. More powerful than ever.
Well, you actually know the answer to this question, which you're just asking me. So I will answer it.
You know, once Luke was sitting there just like eating some food, okay, and then he just like tried to get some meat,
okay,
but he couldn't do it, you know, he couldn't get into it, and then he just hears this voice and it says, use the fork, Luke.
Oh, wait, so he said use the fork, Luke, to himself?
No.
Luke was sitting there.
Obi-Wan, that's his job now. He's more powerful than ever.
You know, another version of this joke that I heard was that Luke was trying to eat sushi with chopsticks but couldn't do it. So Obi-Wan's like, use the fork, Luke. Why did he kill himself? Seriously? You want a serious answer to this?
Yeah.
Oh, he killed himself because he knew that he won't be able to escape with those guys because they were right next to the Falcon. And he wanted to give them a little time to run away. So, and he knew that he was going to become a Force ghost. So that's why he force-ghosted himself.
Or maybe he knew that he sucked and Darth Vader is going to get him eventually anyway. So he might as well go out with some dignity.
No, the plan was always to become a Force ghost so he could help Yoda guide.
Where does the rest of his clothes go?
What do you mean?
Like he disappears.
And the robe.
And Vader actually steps on the robe and checks. Kaang hai bhai? Abhi to yada.
Abhi to yada.
And also Vader doesn't know how Force ghosts work. But again, what's the point of thinking about future movies? But where do the rest of his clothes go?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Oh,
that's a great question.
The Force.
Yeah.
The Force took his clothes away. The Force is stupid in this movie in particular and in Star Wars lore in general because it can do anything. That's so dumb.
Dude, you know Chuck Norris had a cameo in this movie?
As?
The Force. I don't know why you're questioning the concept of the Force. I think that's one of the coolest things about Star Wars.
Critiquing it.
Oh, no, you're questioning it. You're not
critiquing it.
You think the Force is stupid. That's not critiquing it. That's questioning it.
That is, by definition, critiquing it.
No, not really. Critiquing.
If I said the Force is stupid, that's questioning it.
Well put, sir. Well put. I think the Force, the concept of the Force, the Jedi, the dark side and all, is the sole reason why Star Wars is such a... It's such a loved concept till date.
In episode 5 and 6.
No, in this this is the episode that establishes
it. They barely cover the dark side. Right?
A little bit, yeah.
They keep referring to stuff and like, okay, maybe he did have the confidence to say that everything's going to get built. But I'd rather have had, you know, like The Matrix is like a self-sufficient movie. And even though the sequels didn't work out, those sequels expanded on stuff. But like, it's not like you were missing something within the Matrix itself, you know, within the movie to provide
explanations. I actually disagree. Like, how did the Matrix come about? How did the machines take over the world? All of that.
Well, all those questions exist in any fantasy world. You start in the middle, right? In media's res. So
no, but a lot of fantasy movies explain those concepts as well throughout the course of that movie as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think George Lucas got a lot of praise for things like, oh, he was a pilot during the Clone Wars. And everybody's like, oh my God, what's the Clone Wars? Right. And then he went back and actually showed it and actually killed the magic a little bit. So this movie was, sure, it's like pretty famous for doing that. But you don't even realize this, man. I think your positive feelings for this movie are very much driven by 5 and 6. Like, there is no emperor in this movie. Darth Vader is a non-entity in this movie for the most part. And at best, he's like the, you know, the bulky henchman that the bad guy has. Except the bad guy is no bad guy. Like, if the emperor was in this movie, it'd be better. Instead, you have Tarkin. I mean, is he even dangerous? How does Tarkin even die? It's a Death Star explosion. So they don't show the bad guy, like, dying.
Yeah. Also, I've actually thought about the point that you raised earlier where the whole reason why people are so enamored by New Hope is mostly because of 5 and 6. But I actually disagree with that because I agree there's no Yoda here. I agree there's no Emperor. There's no really like dark side, join me dark side, this, that, all of that. But the way it establishes everything, it kind of takes a little bit to get going, the movie, essentially.
So in that sense, it's at best like the Fellowship of the Ring.
Which is still a great movie in its own, right? Because of all the concepts it introduces. Really? You don't like the Fellowship of the Ring?
No. Wow. And especially not compared to the other two.
Fine. Compared to the other two, sure. I actually think Fellowship of the Ring is better than The Two Towers, the movie, not the books. But this movie, the way it introduces all these characters, these concepts.
Dude, the other difference with Fellowship is that it's part of a full trilogy, right? So it introduces and then the payoffs are like so solid to everything that it introduces, right? Or at least the storytelling arcs. This was meant to be a standalone movie. And then it had sequels. And then it became episode 4.
I don't think so, dude. Always planned.
Oh, really? Was it planned that Luke and Leia are siblings?
I think so, yeah.
No. You know that's not true. The I'm Your Father thing wasn't planned. Otherwise, this movie would look a lot different. In fact, Vader is mind-probing Leia for apparently hours and hours trying to get the Death Star base.
Right.
His own daughter, yeah. Apparently. That makes no sense.
Wait, why?
What do you mean, why, dude? Come on, don't be like a Star Wars apologist.
No. I'm not being an apologist. It's very clear how strong Luke and Leia are with the Force. So it's very well established why Vader wasn't able to tell who his daughter and his son were.
It should be the other way. He should be able to detect the Force more easily, considering he detects Obi-Wan's presence on the Death Star.
Yeah, but he doesn't detect Obi-Wan's presence anywhere else. Obi-Wan's been alive. These guys think Obi-Wan's dead, but they can't. Why?
Or, like, he can't tell Luke because it's not written. It's a much easier explanation, right? That it wasn't written in the script.
The nitty-gritties might not be written, but I think 5 and 6 were always planned.
R2 not knowing Obi-Wan, like, the prequels destroy that. So it's, like, so hard to take it seriously when he goes, like, oh, I never had a droid.
Those are nitty-gritties again, right? Like, specific details of, ye nahi ho sakta kyunki ye hua tha, aise nahi. But then, overall, the major stories was, I think it was always a trilogy.
I just feel this, I don't think it was. Because I'm Your Father was not decided by Luke when this movie came out, for sure. And so, as a result, like, Luke and Vader interacting, Luke and Leia interacting. Luke and Leia are supposed to have, like, you know, this dweeb rescuing the princess vibe, right? And so you need that, like, sexual undertone, which for some reason happens still Empire, like when Leia kisses him in Empire. I think, like, I don't know, like, there's no way it was written and he actually doubled down on it in Empire, even when he knew he was going to declare them a sister. Luke is clearly, like, falling in love with her a little bit. And
I think the only thing there is the push and pull between Han and Luke.
Yeah. Which
but
is
Han's
cool.
Clearly the male love interest for Leia's character.
I don't get it.
I don't see it. I can totally picture an overarching trilogy sort of being conceptualized by George Lucas when he made this movie. Sure, the nitty-gritties came out later, ki kya hona hai, kaisi story hai, kaise progress.
Not only that, once he had this additional playground that I can just make a movie about anything, I can make a Rebels episode about anything, I can make a Clone Wars about anything. Anything in this movie, just so tiny, they would just expound on that. Oh, the Rebels have the plans for the Death Star. Here's a full movie, Rogue One. Oh, Han Solo said that the Millennium Falcon did the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs, which, by the way, is a unit of distance. Screw it, we're going to spend $100 million and another half of a whole movie justifying that thing. Oh, and then Jabba the Hutt is going to get paid off in like episode 6.
But there's a whole reason why those movies are getting greenlit, those shows are getting greenlit. It's because
people
are
like us.
Yeah.
We're super fans.
Yeah.
We hang on to everything.
The amount of super fans in this world is staggering, right? And we are super fans for a reason because the core concept of the movies are they're so attractable.
Yeah, the core concept of the movies, but the future movies can't be ignored. How can you watch this movie? It's like watching Game of Thrones now, knowing where like a Daenerys or a character or whatever is headed. it just kind of throws you off a little bit. Like when you know there's no ultimate payoff, like Jon Snow coming alive or whatever. Here, when I watch it, it's like, oh my God, Luke's going to die a hermit. Han's going to get killed by his son. Leia, like, may she rest in peace. Carrie Fisher is just going to, God knows how she's going to die.
We don't know that.
Like off screen, you think she won't die? Of course she'll die. And then like, will she become a Force ghost? That's the real question. It's just so sad. It's also sad.
That's a weak point, dude, because Game of Thrones season one is still like great television. So not to appreciate that because we know what the character arcs are going to look like in season 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever it may be, it doesn't mean that you can't appreciate season one.
Okay, fine. You know what? I'll concede that it's a weak point.
It's the same point that you made for The Matrix, for example. We know how Neo's fate's going to end, so it doesn't mean that we can't like what we see in The Matrix.
But so much of The Matrix is not spent setting up stuff for other movies or is unexplained until the other movies. Never mind that. Let's get to real points.
Yes,
okay?
Please.
The pacing of this movie. It's okay. Brutal.
Just the first 20 minutes.
Yes, just the first 20 minutes? You mean 20 minutes?
Yeah. But, I mean, if...
It's a lot.
That's the only part of the movie which now, because of the subsequent movies, doesn't hold up as well. Because that's where they're introducing the Darth Vader character, the Death Star, this, that.
Everyone but Luke.
Everyone.
And Leia and Han. Well, it's like a Pixar.
Wait, Leia comes in the first scene of the movie.
Oh, that's true. But it's closer to like R2-D2 and the Scarecrow from Wizard of Oz. No, not Scarecrow. There's somebody who looks exactly like C-3PO. Tin Man from Wizard of Oz going on an adventure. And you know those like Pixar short films that play before the actual movie? It's like a little short film. It's like... A robot and tin can adventure in the sand.
Yeah, see, I agree. That's the only... The first 20 minutes are the only part of the movie that suffer because of the subsequent movies.
20 minutes is a lot.
It's not that much, honestly. And because if you truly appreciate Star Wars, then you'll see it for what it is.
Oh, conditionality. If I don't like the movie, I don't appreciate Star Wars.
If you do truly appreciate Star Wars, it's not like you can't sit through those 20 minutes. I love watching those 20 minutes. Just C-3PO and... R2-D2 walking in a desert or whatever it is. I love it.
Oh, it's brutal. And like, it's the Wizard of Oz level humor only, basically. It's just like lame, gentle, light comedy. C-3PO, his biggest thing is that he's a feet. Oh my God, such a posh, like, effeminate robot.
Dude, you really hate him on C-3PO for some reason.
C-3PO in the first 20 minutes of A New Hope is really hateable.
I don't think so. I think C-3PO throughout the course of Star Wars is... hateable, and in the first 20 minutes is fine.
Look what you said. That's awful. I don't think he's hateable. He's awesome.
No, every time he interjects in a high octane scene, that's when I don't like C-3PO's character. Okay, apart from the first 20 minutes,
the Death Star run is too long now. I think it's it's like the re-release remaster thing.
Right.
It's too long. The trench run is too long.
Really?
I got really bored. Yeah, it's also repetitive. Firstly, right? At the time, it's like, okay, stake building. But on a rewatch, you can't stand it because you know what's going to happen.
I didn't notice that. That's very interesting.
So that's remastered, yeah. Because obviously, it must have been too expensive.
I didn't notice how long it dragged for.
Oh, definitely dragged. And like, Darth Vader's a lame-o. He just gets
compared
knocked out
to
of the
5-6, yeah, he's a lame-o.
In general, his character hadn't become a thing. Because he became more popular, they're like, oh, let's make 5 and 6 about him. And because he became even more popular, they're like, oh, let's make 1, 2, 3 about him. But this was the start. They were just trying it out. He's like the Fonzie of the Star Wars universe, like the breakout hit that they then like focus on. He's like the Frasier. Like Frasier is to Cheers, was Darth Vader is to Star Wars.
Yeah, agree. Okay. That's a great point. I agree. Darth Vader is amazing. He deserves his own movies.
Well, you're a big Frasier fan.
I love you don't love Frasier?
But I'm just saying it's an afterthought.
It's not an afterthought. It's like, oh my God, that character's amazing. Let's make 3 movies about him or like a 10 season episode, series show about him.
On a rewatch of this movie, man, there's so much you find out about Vader. Like the way he's yelling at people in the beginning is so not Vader-like. Like now he's become so menacing. And in fact, the latest Vader appearance in Star Wars was the end of Rogue One or Rebels, I guess. In both of which he's like so badass. That to go back and see where it all came from, it's just so stupid.
I agree. It's a little timid, but that's the first time Vader was on screen. Vader was conceptualized on screen. And it wasn't like it was weak.
It's
weaker compared to 5 and 6, which I agree.
So 5 and 6 should be on the IMDb top 250 and A New Hope shouldn't be.
Sure, I agree with that. 5 should be on the IMDb top 250.
Say concede then. You agree that 4 shouldn't be?
No, I didn't. I said 4 should be. 5 should definitely be on the IMDb top 250. I don't agree about 6 as much as you
what?
Do.
What?
Yeah.
What?
You're a manic 6 fan. Way more.
What's your problem with 6? Ewoks? What about the Mos Eisley Cantina here?
Firstly, you put words in my mouth and then you're defending that own point. Like, how does that make sense? I don't like episode 6 for other reasons, which we'll talk about later. There's no point in talking about
that. No, let's just talk about the Mos Eisley Cantina scene.
Okay, sure. Let's do it. Yeah.
What? That whole thing is a problem.
It's a Star Wars gimmick that he carried on for like 6 movies, which I kind of got used to.
So you got used to something that made no sense. It's tonally awful.
No, wait. Okay. It made sense. It is tonally not awful. It doesn't work.
It's a hive of scum and villainy.
He was trying to show what a good time looks like on an alien planet with aliens all around you, which is maybe it looks like that.
It's like a play on like a Western saloon, I'm guessing, right? Of sorts.
Or a nightclub in today's world.
Oh, it's awful. Yeah, it's awful.
It doesn't work that
well. I have to say The Force Awakens made it even worse.
I'm telling you, they just keep doing it. They want to just hammer down on everything that's Star Wars-y. And
what's that dumb character's name and what's her little bar called? Mars.
Mars, yeah.
But what's her little...
Because she's older than Yoda.
Yeah, I know.
That's crazy.
She's like 700 or whatever. And what's her little haberdashery called?
Oh, I forget already. Force Awakens, it's like a blur.
Oh my God. The characters there, the only thing worse than the Cantina scene is the Maz Kanata's haberdashery scene.
Possibly. Well, even the choice of music there is kind of weird.
It's like, oh, look, we're a kids movie now, but adult themes. I get it. We're U-rated. We made so much money because families could come and watch us.
Oh, wow, dude. That's just like unbridled hate for some reason. Don't you appreciate the sheer force of will, no pun intended, that George Lucas just created this and now we have Star Wars. Like, he had no studio backing. He had no peer.
Of course he had studio backing.
No, he had to beg studios, and the only studio, the sixth studio that he went to, 20th Century Fox, who caved and said, like, fine, sure, I'll do it.
That's not the same as having no studio backing.
He had no studio backing while production started. That's kind of crazy, dude.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
I do, by the way. There's no argument for
me for what you're saying. And then sci-fi wasn't a genre, wasn't a bankable genre. He made it a genre. He had to do like finagling. He had to finagle it by saying like, oh, this is a space opera or a space mystery. Just new actors, no special effects, just the thought behind the concept of this force and good and bad within space, fighting, all of that. He got it all together and he made it happen.
I give him all credit to that. As a producer, as the executive producer, as the visionary.
Not as a director, right?
Okay. 3-1-4-2. What did I just say?
3-1-4-2.
It's in order of descending quality of movies George Lucas has directed in the Star Wars universe.
2 is the lowest. I completely agree with. I think it's 3, man. Even though I really like 3, I think it's 3.
What?
Over 4.
Over 1?
Yeah, 1 and 4.
My point is, he hasn't directed a great Star Wars movie. When he handed off the reins, thankfully, to other people, we now have the entity that we call Star Wars. And Vikram, if only this movie existed, it would be the last fighter of its time. We would not, as Indians, have this love for Star Wars if it wasn't for 5 and 6.
I agree to your point about 5 and 6, but to argue that 5 and 6 are better than 4 doesn't mean 4 is not a good movie. I don't find that argument.
It's like,
baseless.
You know how the Fast and Furious universe now has massive fans?
Can't believe you're getting to Fast and Furious.
But like, the first one is not the best one. I know some people think it's the best one, but it's not.
They all suck equally.
No, they don't.
Yeah, maybe one a little more than the other, but they all suck equally.
No,
It's not a comparison.
That's an insult to the ones that really suck a lot, because there are some that really suck.
How many are there? Like 11 now?
There's 9 now.
There are 9 Fast and Furious movies?
Yeah, including the 2 spin-offs, Tokyo Drift and Hobbs and Shaw.
That's including... Yeah. Oh, so there are 7 Fast and Furious movies?
No, there's 8. Tokyo Drift is considered a Fast and Furious movie. You need to get with your Fast and Furious info.
Can we move on?
Yes.
I want to talk about Fast and Furious again in the same breath as Star Wars.
Okay.
Blasphemy, firstly. All right? Blasphemy. I think just because 5 and 6 might be better than 4, which I don't completely agree with, 5 definitely, 6 maybe not, doesn't mean 4 is a weak movie. And it thoroughly deserves to be on the IMDb top 250. It's a number 2 movie in adjusted gross revenue. That's
who
crazy.
Cares?
I care. You
the
care.
New Lion King made $1.5 billion.
This movie still made
Fast
more.
Fast and Furious made $1.5 billion.
This movie still made more in adjusted
cares?
Gross.
That doesn't mean anything.
Wait,
you know that.
So wait, you just hated on Fast and Furious.
I'm saying like box office doesn't mean anything.
Oh.
Dude, this movie had nothing figured out. You know, at one point, you know, okay. At one point, they say, may the force be with you. You're like, hey, Star Wars, may the force be with you. Turns out, no. The part they, in fact, highlighted in the trailer is, the force will be with you always.
Okay, so they changed the line. And
no, I'm just saying.
The most iconic line in movie-going history.
Because of 5 and 6, not because of this. If I told you before this rewatch that may the force be with you is not said in this movie, it is said once, mm-hmm. but it's said offhandedly.
Okay.
And the main, like, may the force be with you line that's highlighted is Ben Kenobi saying it to Luke, the force will be with you always.
Okay.
My point is, you don't realize this is like a bad version of the iconic Star Wars that we know.
My point is that if it's may the force be with you or the force is forever holding your hand through fields of poppy, it doesn't matter.
It does matter.
That's not the reason why you like 4 or you don't like 4.
The beauty of the sound of the phrase is a huge reason why we say may the force be with you.
Yeah, but that's not an argument for the movie for or against. That makes no sense.
I'm just trying to dissociate the iconicness of Star Wars.
No, I think
Star Wars.
I think the iconicness comes from lightsabers, duels, Luke Skywalker.
Lightsabers
Force.
In this movie were white. What you think of as iconic lightsabers?
Just stop talking to me as if I haven't seen this movie. Firstly, I literally just watched this movie.
The original. You know that they were white. So my point is that iconicness of the lightsabers didn't come from Episode 4.
No, the concept of the lights. What is the lightsaber without this movie?
Yeah, I know it did it first, but like, it's like...
It did it first and it did it decent, yeah? That's decent at best. Yeah.
Decent at times.
No, you're only talking about the Vader-Obi-Wan feud. That was okay.
I'm just saying, lightsabers are awesome, but not in this movie. Darth Vader's awesome, but not in this movie. Even Obi-Wan is awesome, mostly in this movie.
Only this movie. Otherwise, he's in the prequels.
Prequels, yeah. He's actually better in the prequels in this movie.
Oh, just because he's a main character. I think Alec Guinness did a fantastic job, by the way. What I didn't like as much was Luke Skywalker.
Alec Guinness did a great job because he's like a great actor. But like, some of the things Obi-Wan is doing in this movie, firstly, do you remember his entry? When he's scaring the sand people, he's just like,
he knows what to do.
It's just like,
he's been living there protecting him. He knows exactly what to do to scare them off.
That protecting thing is not part of the lore until much later. Or is it in this movie? Is it clear? That's what
of
he's doing?
Of course.
No,
clear.
I think he's just a hermit, just happens to live there.
No, that's completely untrue. It's pretty well established that he's protecting Luke.
Again, your knowledge of Star Wars is just reading into stuff, which I guess they count on.
Do you have proof for this? I'm pretty sure I've read this.
You're asking me to prove a negative.
No, your theory is based on that this was a standalone movie and then the sequels were an afterthought.
Okay, let's not get caught up in that.
Yeah.
Okay, we were talking about Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Again, one of the things I noticed on rewatch, which again made the whole experience worth it. Do you remember the scene they're on the Death Star? They're hiding in the Millennium Falcon, like, secret compartment.
Right.
Iconic secret compartment, given the Force Awakens callback.
Sure.
So then they all come out of the secret compartment and Obi-Wan says something.
Okay.
And poor Alec Guinness, he gets through some line. He's just like, I'm going to switch off the tractor beam. And Han Solo goes like, oh, you're a fool. And he's just like, who's a fool? The man who's a fool or the man who follows the fool?
Right.
And then he tries to prop himself up out of the secret compartment using both of his hands.
Old man right
and
now,
then he fails. And it's in the movie. Like, that's the cut. That's the shot they went with.
I'm just hating on an old
it's
man,
just so
dude.
Sad. It's supposed to be something he says while in motion, like the fool pause, lift himself up, or the man who follows the fool. And instead, it's just like he does like a little jerk with his hands and it doesn't go anywhere. Poor Alec Guinness, man. I mean, not poor. He literally made 2% of Star Wars gross, but it's kind of funny to see him just kind of like, I mean, you've heard his interviews about it. He just thought it was like a silly space adventure that became something bigger.
Everyone did. Even during production, everyone did. The entire crew thought it was going to be a really bad movie.
A B movie.
Yeah, and they kept losing interest, and George Lucas was just depressed and stuff throughout it. But just powered through, man, and thank God for him.
There's so much dumb shit like this, like the Obi-Wan stuff.
But that, you know, that dumb shit is also in 5 and 6. A lot of it.
Maybe. Yeah.
A lot of it.
Like what?
A lot of it.
No, I agree. I mean, obviously, like, they always had the it's a kids movie excuse. There's also dumb shit like the stormtrooper hitting his head. And that stuff is, like, now just iconic for another reason. Because, obviously, that's the shot they went with. At one point, like, on the Death Star, from the escape of Death Star, when Han is, like, he's faced with the stormtroopers. And then he starts chasing them. He's literally like, yeah, yeah. And then he's like shooting them in blasters.
Yeah.
Why are they running? There's six stormtroopers. And he faces them with a gun.
They're scared.
They just turn around and run.
When they realize that they shouldn't be.
What is happening?
That's actually a very classic trick that I've seen in multiple movies.
Oh, yeah. That's a callback again, that scene where they run and suddenly there's thousands of them. Yeah, yeah. And then Luke also randomly is wearing this Batman-style utility belt. That whole escape from Death Star after the Obi-Wan and before the Obi-Wan fight and after... I just don't like it. And that's technically the second act. And then the third act's too long. It's just too much wrong.
I think the only weak part about that escape is the duel. Because the duel really doesn't hold up immediately. It's like Empire comes out and the duel doesn't hold up. So that's kind of weak. But a lot of this stupid production-related like timed stuff like from the 70s and the 80s comes through in both the sequels as well. So I don't think that's that big of a difference. Sure, new characters like Yoda and Palpatine make it a little more wholesome in terms of the dark side and the Jedi. And I feel like the lightsaber battles only marginally become better, especially in the original releases. So
Return of the Jedi is awesome. Empire, yeah, not so much.
I think Return of the Jedi also original release, the lightsaber bit of it is marginally better. It's just what they do around that with the Force.
Do you realize the only lightsaber battle in Star Wars, the first and only, was this duel?
Yeah.
So lightsabers weren't that cool. The only other time they show the lightsaber is like one, Obi-Wan cuts off the guy's hand in the cantina. And second, Luke is training. Also, Luke's training. One scene, one montage.
I was
kind
of hoping you wouldn't bring that up.
Oh my God, I had so much. I almost forgot.
Yeah.
One helmet with the visor on and he's trained.
Yeah. I mean, he's not trained. It's more like he's introduced to the concept.
That's what I mean. And then Luke doesn't have anything to do with the lightsaber per se. It's just Obi-Wan's weapon. Luke's just a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
What is Luke in this movie? He's a pilot. His whole special sauce is that he's a pilot. And in the other movies, being a pilot doesn't even matter.
Yeah. I mean, his special sauce is that...
he's a dweeb.
He is kind of a dweeb, yes. I think that was on purpose. But
and also, I thought he was like Spider-Man. Like, my uncle and aunt are dead, and now, like, with great power comes... He never thinks about them again. He never cares about them again. He's more sad that Obi-Wan dies, who he just met. I think it's one day that they've met. And he's like, oh my God, Ben. I'm like, what about, the largest...
They knew each other before that.
Barely.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, barely. But yeah, he's not as upset about his actual foster family dying. Which is kind of weird, yeah.
And like, the way they die,
kind of brutal.
I would be like scarred for life. Yeah. He just stares at the twin sons for a bit.
It's the force in him, man.
He looks away, he stares again, and he's over it.
Luke, I'm not the biggest fan of Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker.
Is that your concession?
It's a concession, but it's a pan Star Wars concession.
Still pretty important to this movie, wouldn't you say? More important than other movies, in fact.
No, I disagree.
Maybe not Return of Jedi.
Equally important in all movies. In fact, even The Last Jedi, if you think about it, pretty important. But I feel like...
Oh, he learned to act by then.
No, I still...
Oh, you still didn't like... You don't like old Luke?
No, I don't like old... I think Mark Hamill's best sort of input to this industry is voicing Joker.
Yeah, of course.
In the animated
movies. No, firstly, shut the hell up. Despite me being against this movie, his best input to the industry is being Luke Skywalker.
His most well-known input to the industry is being Luke Skywalker, but not the best necessarily.
Maybe not the best, his talent, yes. Yeah.
But even though Luke Skywalker is such a predominant part of the Star Wars saga, it still comes through to me, or for me. I still love it. So it's not like Luke Skywalker. Mark Hamill's portrayal of Luke Skywalker holds it back.
I think between the three of them, Carrie Fisher does the best job, actually.
I love Harrison Ford, dude.
Yeah.
I love Harrison Ford. I love Harrison Ford in this movie and every movie that Harrison Ford's in.
Harrison Ford is the most consistent across this movie and other movies, firstly. I have to grant that. Luke's, I guess you could say, is an arc, so it's actually probably the best done. Harrison Ford remains the same, technically. Like, he comes back to the Empire, to the Rebels. That's his big arc in this movie. But then after that, he's the same. He's like swashbuckling, badass, I love you, I know, kind of thing.
Right.
So I grant you that, because that's pan Star Wars. But like, Han Solo in this, firstly, cold-blooded murderer, right?
Well, yeah, he's kind of a savage, man.
But we saw the special edition, so it had that four-frame, like, Greedo shot first.
Yeah.
Also, how can Han Solo speak Greedo language? I've never thought about that.
Like, well, he can also speak so many other languages.
Like what? Chewie's?
Yeah.
And?
Like, that's implied, right? Because he's like this traveler, ravager kind of a guy.
Oh my God, such well a versed. Mary Sue. Such a such a male Mary Sue.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, he's okay.
I really like Harrison Ford's portrayal of Han Solo, especially in this movie, because that's the first time we see him. And he's actually more raw.
Wasn't this his first movie? He was a carpenter.
It's his first starring role, yeah. He had a small role in a movie before this, but yeah, he was literally...
Not enough to stop carpenting, apparently. Yeah, because he wasn't working on like some production design set and then...
No, he was working in either Spielberg or George Lucas's house as a carpenter. And they're like, yeah, you want to be in a movie?
Sure. That's awesome.
But I think he was just way more raw in this movie, which actually translated really well to the character of Han Solo, which I thought. Carrie Fisher was great. I think the most important thing to note about Carrie Fisher was her age during this movie. So it's
just so young.
She's really young. So is Mark Hamill, but like I think she
and Harrison
really
Ford
good
is
job.
So old, and they started dating.
Why are we gossiping right now? We start gossiping.
Well, Leia, it is kind of weird. Like I think her makeup was kind of weird when I noticed it this time. Like if you could go back, I bet they would do something about it. It's just like she had these pink rosy cheeks that just kind of weirdly stood out, I think,
did
to the rest.
Did not notice that at all.
Dude, pink rosy cheeks and dark red lipstick. I've never noticed it either until now. And it's kind of like very conspicuous in the
and
Star Wars
And that's not
universe.
Her makeup in 5 and 6?
I don't know now because I just watched 4. But yeah, it's just kind of weird. And also the fact that she's a princess is so out there because she's technically a diplomat, right? And there's obviously that whole story why Organa and she's a princess. But it's literally like forcing down a trope that the dweeb has to rescue the princess. So she's literally a princess.
Was it a trope back then?
Yeah. Everything in Star Wars comes from a trope. Everything, every review, you know, back when like movie criticism literally relied on like movie knowledge, they were all like, he's aping this and he's aping that and he's aping this and it's the 1,000 times told story, but it's good. But special effects. Now the special effects don't hold up. So, I mean, it's a different thing. But at the time, I get it. People liked it.
Interesting. You know who didn't like it? All his peers.
Oh, really?
He held a special screening with all of these major directors, Brian De Palma, Steven Spielberg. Like,
Steven Spielberg didn't like it?
Steven Spielberg is the only one who liked it.
Of course he did. He has some sense.
No, and this was a cut without the special effects driven in. So it was a raw cut of the movie. Hmm. And still, Steven Spielberg saw through that. And he's like, the only reason I feel like other people didn't like it was because the special effects weren't final.
Hmm.
Brian De Palma, he literally made fun of everything in the movie, including Princess Leia's hairstyle. He's like, hey, George, what were those Danish trolls doing in the princess's ears? And then I read this article about how Brian De Palma is now making budget movies and George Lucas is one of the richest creators ever.
Snap. Yeah. Is he really making budget movies? Yeah. I mean, nothing against Brian De Palma, dude. He's made some amazing shit.
Yeah, he made a few amazing movies and now he's at the bottom of the barrel, dude.
Yeah, but again, like, okay, Leia's character, for instance, amazing, right? Like, I don't know the right adjectives that you might write in a character profile, but, you know, stands out for herself and, like, Star Wars actually, edgy maybe, but Star Wars has this long history of like female empowerment, sport, so to speak, through characters like Leia.
Right.
Right. In The Force Awakens, the part they did not do better is that Rey keeps saying like, let go of my hand when Finn tries to hold it.
Right.
Because it's so Leia-like from back in the day. And she's like, some rescue, I have to do everything myself when they go into the trash compactor.
Mm-hmm.
But then future movies ruin that too. With the bikini in 6. It's just like, what a slap in the face of female empowerment.
Yeah, I think George Lucas didn't have female empowerment on the top of his list. It just happened to happen, essentially. Yeah. And then they just capitalized on it. Can we not go back to Force Awakens, please? You're constantly doing that. It's pissing me off. It's the worst movie.
Mission accomplished, then.
Yeah, it's the worst analogy. It's the worst movie. It's the worst movie in Star Wars, maybe after Episode 2. But I agree with Princess Leia's just acting. I think Carrie Fisher did a tremendous job. I think Harrison Ford did a tremendous job. I think James Earl Jones killed it as the voice of Darth Vader. I think Alec Guinness did
not in this
job.
Movie. Again, not in this movie. The voice of Darth Vader is okay in this movie. It's not epic.
It's very James Earl Jonesy. I don't see a difference between his voice.
You can't say very James Earl Jonesy since this movie barely established what James Earl Jonesy means. Right?
But I
5 and 6 make.
I don't see a difference between 4, 5, and 6 in his voicing of the character.
No, dude. The pace at which he speaks. Like, he's literally yelling at Stormtrooper. If you don't do this, General, then we will blah, 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 blah. Darth Vader never speaks like that, except he does in this movie. But because 5 and 6 established what he actually speaks like, we don't think about it.
Oh, interesting. I didn't notice that when I rewatched this last night.
Yeah. Right in the beginning. He's too talkative. He's also too subservient to Tarkin, which I think was interesting because it built Tarkin's character.
Yeah.
But again, only because we knew what Vader became because he was menacing. He wore a cape and stuff. Dude, have you seen the Spaceballs? Like, I think, like, the play that they do on Darth Vader and Spaceballs, it's just like this tiny man. You know who Rick Moranis is? From Ghostbusters and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
Right.
Rick Moranis plays Darth Vader. And it's just like a side gag that keeps on giving because he's a tiny person.
Okay.
And he wears the biggest helmet always. And he wears the biggest Darth Vader helmet you can imagine.
Okay.
It's kind of like when Stewie becomes Darth Vader.
Okay.
It's kind of like that. And so it's sort of that gift that keeps on giving because it's like, I will make my costume as menacing as possible. We'll have a helmet. We'll have a cape. We'll have buttons. I'll have force choking abilities. We'll have a dread lightsaber. It's just like, he's a walking, talking toy, basically. So I get it. Like 5 and 6 made him super menacing, but he's completely unterrifying in this movie.
He's less terrifying in this movie. I would give you that. But he's still terrifying.
And he has a white lightsaber, and then to make it more terrifying, he dyes it red in the next movie. I just can't get over some of the stuff.
Yeah. I understand you hating on the nitty-gritties because, well, that's what we base our fandom on. But I'm just trying to just take this movie as a unique piece of art and try to critique it that way. And I still think it holds up very, very well.
Okay. I'm done in terms of hating on this movie because I can only hate on Star Wars so much.
Yeah.
It sucks that I had to watch this movie, you know?
Oh, wow.
It introduces, like, my Star Wars, like, undying love. But wow. I'll come to terms with it. But I do have two concessions for you.
Okay.
The first one, simple, is just the art design. It's glorious, right?
Brilliant, yeah.
For its time, because it's still around. Like, everything they establish is still around. The opening shot in the, a Star Destroyer or a cruiser, yeah. Whatever. So that's still the design of the ship, you know? Yeah. So that's amazing that they pulled that off 45 years hence, still the same. And then second, I mean, John Williams' music. There's just no doubt. But
I didn't even bring that up because I knew that if...
You know we're feuding, right? You're supposed to bring that up. Could have got a concession.
Well, sure. I'm getting the concession right now. But I would have... My point is personal. If I would have brought that up and you would have said anything against it, I would have walked out. Honestly, I would have just gotten up and walked out. You can't say anything against John Williams.
You can say plenty of things against John Williams, the dude. He might be an awful human.
You know what I meant. His art.
His Star Wars music.
His music, anywhere he makes music.
I don't know about that either, because I don't know all his music. Hans Zimmer has had some duds, you know, so nobody's
perfect.
You literally
open John Williams' discography, and it's like, Oscar nom, Oscar nom, Oscar win, Oscar nom, Oscar nom, Oscar nom, Oscar win. Because everything he touches is pure gold.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little too orchestral for me in the beginning, as
Jesus
an opening
Lord.
Crawl.
It's brilliant.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
It's what Star Wars is related to as, that theme, that score.
A lot of the best music in Star Wars came from after episode
just
4.
Just the dark side of it, okay?
The Death March.
Yeah,
and
just the dark side music.
Even the new Star Wars music's not that bad.
It's like, great. It's all, everything's taken cue from John Williams.
Yeah, the motif. Mm-hmm. Apart from the main themes, but yeah,
you have to say it like that.
No, yeah, I can just say motifs. Yeah, what I will say is that that's meaningless.
Why?
Like, a movie can have amazing music and be awful.
Firstly, this movie has amazing music, and this movie is not awful. And the two of them, when they come together, make it a
Twilight New
fantastic
Moon
movie. Had amazing music. Are you serious right now?
All Beatles movies were awful. All of their music was awesome. Man of Steel has the best soundtrack ever.
What?
Very underrated. Hans Zimmer.
Best
amazing.
Soundtrack ever.
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's not the best soundtrack ever.
It's pretty good.
It's not the best soundtrack ever.
I agree it's not the best soundtrack ever, but to me it's the best soundtrack ever because nobody else recognizes it as
such. No, to you it's the best soundtrack ever because it makes a valid point for you right now.
I'm bored of it now.
Shut up, dude.
I'm bored of it.
You're hating. I'm going to get up and walk. I'm leaving.
I'm bored of it.
I'm bored of you. I'm bored of you. I'm bored of this suit. I'm bored of this shit.
Okay, see ya. I'll just win. Peace. May the force be with you always and take you through the fields.
Can you do a death march while I walk away?
Da, 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 da.
And that was this week's episode of Film Feud. Hope you guys enjoyed.
Thank you for listening. Now we feuded and you, our listeners, get to decide who you think won the feud. You can vote on our social media at Muncher Movies on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or just find us on YouTube and let us know in the comments. That's Muncher Movies on YouTube as well.
You can also find us wherever you guys get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, and more.
Oh my God, that's a good list, Vikram.
Thanks, man. I'm practiced with this.
Nice. And don't forget to visit our website, munchermovies.com. Until next week.
Bye-bye.